Here's Andy Udman.
It is 8 minutes after 10 o'clock on this Thursday, the 22nd of September. Folks, as I often say, when Pam Colleen comes in, this is your captain speaking. Fasten your seatbelts because we are going to face turbulence. Today, it is truer than ever before because if there is one issue that is a tough one for parents out there, one issue that brings them to tears when it comes to discussing this issue with their doctor and with others, it's vaccines. Just this morning, I heard of a couple who went to the doctor yesterday to have some stitches removed from their child's forehead, a little spill, and the doctor pounced on them about the child not having their vaccines and gave them some very dire warnings. It is a very painful, a very emotional, a very real day-to-day issue that parents are facing. So we're going to tackle this subject this morning with me, Pam Colleen, and we'll have introduce a guest in just a moment who has written a book. Get this. It is called Vaccine Epidemic, How Corporate Greed, Biased Science, and Coercive Government Threatens Our Human Rights, Our Health, and Our Children. And as you know, if you've been following the news, Rick Perry is now in the doo-doo in the American election race because of his involvement in this area. But Pam, this is a very emotional issue.
It is for many people because, you know, historically we've had a lot of compliance with regards to, you know, parents taking their children in to get vaccines. I think it's been as high as 98%. And gradually every year now, though, the compliance rate is steadily going down. Very, very small percentages, but it's still going down because parents are actually asking questions and doing their own due diligence, their own research, and discovering that, you know, there are other ways, better ways to stimulate the immune system than to take foreign proteins into their bloodstream.
Would you introduce our guest this morning? She is about to rock the boat. Go ahead.
Yes, this morning we're fortunate to have Louise Kuo Habakas on, who co-authored the book Vaccine Epidemic, and she's got a history of working in the business world, but unfortunately, because she's had two children who were vaccine injured, she herself began to ask a lot of questions and has done a tremendous amount of research in this area. Good morning, Louise. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning. It's a pleasure to be on with you.
Louise, I always love to start with someone who has as much passion about a subject as you had with their own personal story and why you feel so passionately about vaccinating our children.
I am passionate because I love my children dearly, and I believed the doctors. You know, when you become a new parent, you want to do everything you can to protect them and do the right thing. So I listened to the doctors. And it turns out they don't really know a lot about the ins and outs of what's in vaccines and what happens when they go badly. And so I learned the hard way that it's not always just disease prevention. Sometimes things can go wrong. And people need to understand that there are trade-offs.
And when you talk about trade-offs, I mean, what kind of symptoms are children experiencing after, immediately, almost, it's almost immediate, some of these effects that are happening after getting vaccination?
People don't understand that vaccines, while they can prevent illness, and I want to say that because I don't want people to think that I'm completely one-sided on this issue. Vaccines cause harm and, yes, death to some who take them, some who receive them. And the symptoms can range from very severe swelling and fever, inability to sleep, arching your back, which is a sign of, and shrieking, a sign of neurological damage. And it can go all the way to paralysis. You can have autoimmune symptoms such as Guillain-Barré and Stevens-Johnson syndrome. It's very serious medicine. People need to know this.
And what do you say to the idea of herd immunity? I mean, as we've seen in some even government data, as people have been vaccinating, some of these diseases are still happening. So it seems that there's a contradiction going on in terms of their promises.
You know, herd immunity is so interesting, right? This is the idea that everybody has to be vaccinated in order to protect society. So if you vaccinate everybody, then the diseases can't come back and penetrate this protective cordon, right? And the idea was, like, when you got chickenpox, you know, you don't get it again, right? You have lifelong immunity. So in the 1930s, epidemiologists, these are, you know, public health officials, they promoted this idea that you could actually have herd immunity from vaccines, right? So it's not just natural immunity that creates this protection, but that vaccines could also protect against having diseases come back. And what we're finding is that this is not true, right? DPT, the pertussis, whooping cough, is cyclical, and it exists in animal reservoirs, and it keeps coming back, and we give our children 6 doses of the pertussis vaccine, starting at, you know, when they're babies, 2 months of age, and yet the disease keeps coming back. And so I think what we need to do is open our eyes and say, you know, if you are worried about disease, vaccines are just one tool in the toolkit. You need to look at other things and say, you know, could other things support my child's immune system? You know, is disease prevention health?
Here's the question, Louise, if I could. I'm looking at a chart here of childhood in America, the new normal. And what strikes me is if we buy into the notion that we have to vaccine our children against every awful disease, well, there are a lot of awful diseases out there. The new normal is overweight kids, 1 in 3. Learning disabilities, 1 in 6. Asthma, 1 in 9. ADHD, 1 in 10. Food allergies, birth defects, seizures, autism, diabetes, cancer, 1 in 6,000. More and more diseases. Are we all going to get life memberships at our local drugstore and constantly pump our kids full of chemicals to fight all these diseases?
You know, Andy, I'm with you completely. There's a crisis. There is absolutely a health crisis overall, but there's a pediatric health crisis. And it's not just obesity and it's not just autism, but it's peanut anaphylaxis, it's peanut allergies, right? It's OCD, it's speech delays, and all manner of chronic autoimmune and developmental disorders that are affecting, when you add them all up, about 1 in 2 children. And so, yes, we have a crisis. And, you know, you would think that our public health officials, what they might do is come up with a solution that starts to address why we're so sick. But it seems that what they focus on is that deadly disease is what we, infectious disease is what we need to be afraid of. And so they just keep coming out with more vaccines.
Well, and then that's a good point, because over 80% of the population today will die from chronic disease, whereas about 6.7% of the population will die from infectious disease. In other words, infectious disease is relatively rare.
That's right, Pam. And, you know, maybe the things we do to prevent being sick is what's making us sick.
Mm-hmm. Louise, you have 2 children.
Who
relate to this story. Share that with you, with us, if you would.
You know, I don't go into a whole lot of detail because I think you can understand, being a public person on this issue, I'd like to protect some of their privacy. But what I will tell you is that I started vaccinating. And, you know, if you don't have young children today, people don't realize they get 70 doses of 16 vaccines, right? And you start right at birth. And so I started seeing things which were, you know, like constant diarrhea. And, you know, forgive me, because I know this is a tough to hear early in the morning. But,
no, we believe in telling it straight.
Okay. Inflammatory bowel disease. There are a lot of kids with GI issues. And we are finding that there is definitely a link between these inflammatory bowel conditions and what people are seeing after vaccination, right? You know, I think it's 2/3 of children with autism, for example, have bowel disease. So, you know, I started seeing that things weren't quite right. They seemed to react to all kinds of food. We've got a lot of GI problems. And when you go to the doctors, they tell you it's normal. You know, oh, babies have loose bowels. And then as they got a little older, oh, you know, toddler diarrhea, very, very common. They will outgrow it. But you know what? It's not normal. It's not normal that a child has constant diarrhea to the point where they can't potty train properly. Mm-hmm. So, you know, this is just one example, and it's not the only example. I mean, the thing about human beings is, you know, we're individuals, so we react to things differently. But if you look at vaccines and you look at what's in them, which I think is really important because most people don't even understand what's in them, you know, these things are designed to really stimulate the immune system in a way that's unpredictable.
Louise, we have to take a short break. When we come back, I want to ask you about a story that I can't believe it's come to this. But Big Pharma is switching gears and is now attempting to legislate the secret vaccination of young children without parental consent. I can't believe it, but there's a bill on the desk of the governor of California. I want to ask you about Would Big Pharma really stoop that low? We'll be back in just a moment right here on London Today on News Talk 1290 CJBK. Folks, if you find it absolutely shocking what we have already said about child vaccines and the pressure that parents are on to get them, even if they have research which causes them to be very, very nervous, listen to this. Just during the break, I was talking to Pam Colleen about the story that I heard just yesterday, and you heard one just this morning about parents when they go to their doctor with their child about something else and the pressure they are under to vaccinate their
children. Right. The doctor threatened the parents and said, if you do not vaccinate your children, then go to find another doctor. I won't treat you.
This is here in London.
Here in London.
Well, that's a story that you heard this morning. The one I heard yesterday, and I know this one directly because I know the couple involved. The doctor put tremendous pressure on them to have all the vaccines that people are normally getting. And now to read this from California, Louise, had you heard this story? We're in conversation, by the way, with author Louise Cuohabacas, who wrote the book Vaccine, co-authored the book Vaccine Epidemic, How Corporate Greed, Bias Science, and Coercive Government Threaten Our Human Rights, Our Health, and Our Children. Had you heard about this bill on the desk of the governor of California, Jerry Brown, which basically is sponsored by Big Pharma, switching gears, attempting now to clear the way for secret vaccinations of children so the parents don't know and aren't asked to give consent?
Absolutely. It's Assembly Bill 499, which is sitting on Governor Jerry Brown's desk, and it allows children as young as 12 to be vaccinated with vaccines against sexually transmitted diseases without parental knowledge or consent.
Is this a first, Louise, or have I been missing something? Because this shocks me.
Well, it is shocking. It is shocking. And, of course, there are many parents across the country who are outraged because they're saying, these are conversations I need to be having with my child. I can't send my child to school and have her come back having received a vaccine against human papillomavirus or hepatitis B. Yes, this would be first in the nation if California passes it. But there is legislation in other states, including the state of New York, that is seeking to do the same thing. And this is the trend. I mean, we are absolutely moving towards what I call the no choice choice, right? And you were touching on that before. It's, you know, government says, oh, you have a choice, you have a choice. But you really don't, because if you can't go to school without vaccines, and if you face incredible social pressure, stigmatization, you can't go to your doctor because he won't see you if you don't vaccinate, there's no real choice, right? And so I think what's happening is that, you know, industry and government together are trying to increasingly make this a mandated, streamlined process because, let's face it, it comes down to the bottom line. What kind of business would it be if you had something, Andy, where your government mandated that everybody in the country needed to get your vaccine, and oh, by the way, or your product, any product, and if it harmed people, you couldn't be sued.
Well, I was just going to say, let's jump in there, and we'll do the medical aspect of vaccines after the news break at the bottom of the hour. Let's just focus on the legal aspect. If they secretly vaccinate your children and they get autism
End up with a seizure or what have you, yeah.
Then what kind of a legal morass do we have?
Well, I mean, it's not a legal morass, actually. It is you're on your own. And, you know, the Supreme Court just in the United States upheld that parents are basically on their own, that industry has no legal liability to make safer vaccines.
So they can the doctors can pump chemicals into your kids. You don't even know your child developed some horrible medical issue and you can't sue?
No, you cannot. You cannot. For most vaccines, it's the vaccines that are on the recommended schedule. And so this is the rub. This is why they're so eager to get these vaccines recommended and mandated, because if they're on the schedule, then industry can't be sued.
Unbelievable. Let's go to the phones and let John jump in. John, you have a comment?
I just wanted to make it quick, Andy. This lady is absolutely right. I'm a father with a son with autism. We also have six other daughters, and the boy was number six. Number seven, we didn't vaccinate at all. I'm not kidding. She's absolutely the brightest kid we have. People got to educate before you vaccinate. It's that simple. Do your homework. Go to the internet. Do not listen to the doctors who are pressuring. Do your homework first. It's that simple.
What's the story on your son and the vaccine and autism?
Well, with us, we think every time we vaccinated, he got worse. So we stopped vaccinating at 15 months. That's when we knew that he had autism, between 15 and 18 months. But the first 6 months, 8 months of life, he was just like every other kid we had, same brightness. And if you want to talk about stress from a doctor, about if they're pressuring you, wait till you have a son with autism. That's a whole level of stress that you cannot even imagine.
Mm.
John, what are you saying about the link between vaccinations and autism?
Well, let me put it to you a different way. I've done a lot of research and talked to a lot of parents, and I look on the internet, and these parents do not lie. I can print off 100 cases where they were vaccinated that day, and by that night, they had tremendous side effects. Now, how can you just not, how can you overlook that?
Mm-hmm.
Very quickly, we have to move on. But, John, what would you say to those parents that I know them, and Pam has just heard this story, who are under such tremendous pressure from their doctors to vaccinate, you got to vaccinate?
You're your own boss. No one has control over you. It's that simple.
John, I appreciate the call so much. We have just a couple of moments before the news break at the bottom of the hour. Louise, what would you say to parents who are in this difficult situation? We'll get into all of the medical issues on the other side of the news break, but what would you right now say to parents who are listening right now, wrestling with this very difficult decision?
I would say to the doctor who's pushing vaccines on me, stand side by side with me. Promise me that my child won't get damaged or die from the vaccine. If you'll sign something saying that you'll be liable, then let's move forward together. You will not find a single doctor in this country or in the world who will do that, because they know that bad things can happen after vaccine.
Do they know? Pam keeps telling us that doctors are too busy in their clinics to read the research.
You know what? They know, but they say that it's so vanishingly rare that it almost doesn't happen. And I think that that's something that they tell themselves in order to be able to give so many vaccines to so many children in their practice, right? You can't really believe that this thing can harm children and still in good conscience be a doctor vaccinating every day. So
well,
I think they say it's very rare.
Very rare, and yet you and I and Pam have been talking for just minutes, and already we get a horror story from John. So
right.
It is not that rare. Unbelievable. Louise, we do have to take a short break for a news update. When we come back, believe me, folks, we're just in first gear. We're going to shift into second gear. We've got so many questions. We want to ask Louise Quo Habakkuk, author of the book Vaccine Epidemic. And, folks, if you think that this issue is complex now, how many diseases, Pam?
Oh, there's thousands of diseases. Does this mean we're going to get thousands of vaccines?
And big pharma is saying,
oh,
another disease.
Yes.
We could make a lot of money.
Yeah, selling sickness.
And this mm-hmm. thing just spins out of control when you think of where this could lead down the road in terms of pumping chemicals into our children for every disease.
It's crazy. It's limitless as to how many vaccines they could hypothetically create.
The book is called Vaccine Epidemic, How Corporate Greed, Bioscience, and Coercive Government Threaten Our Human Rights, Our Health, and Our Children. If you have not yet phoned a friend to tell them to make sure to tune into News Talk 1290, do it now. You know where we are on the dial, 1290. We're going to spend the rest of this hour talking about this, and we will keep the phone lines open right here on News Talk 1290 CJBK.
They don't cure nothing. Same disease has been hanging out since I was a kid, man. What's the last shit a doctor cured? Polio. You know how long ago polio was? That's like the first season of Lucy.
Chris Rock obviously doesn't think too much of the doctor's ability to cure our diseases, Pam.
No, that's quite a funny stint, actually.
But doctors, mm-hmm. Comedians are leery to get in. I mean, Bill Maher, you're saying, has ventured into this territory, mm-hmm. and there's been blowback.
Yeah, he's been highly criticized for his criticisms on vaccines and big pharma in general. And he does his research, he does his reading, and he turns this whole story into something very funny, but it makes him a target as well.
Just before we get back to our guest author, Louise Quo Habakkuk, who's written the book, A Vaccine Epidemic. Girish, you want to jump in here with a comment?
Yes, the important subject, the vaccination, but the much larger problem is the corruption of the doctors by the drug companies right from the medical school or pre-med. And this is what has to be addressed, because if it's not vaccine, if they do something about the vaccine, they will the corrupted doctors would be made to jump into some other field and will face with the same problem in another matter. Thank you.
thank you. Well, it's what we've been saying on this show, Pam, for how long?
Right, right. And what he's alluding to is this unholy alliance, essentially, in particular with public health and the vaccine industry. I mean, we, you know, you scratch my back, I scratch yours. So public health gets billions of dollars every year and does free advertising for the vaccine industry. I mean, it's quite a cozy deal, isn't it, Louise?
It absolutely is. You know, corporations have tremendous influence. And as we know, I mean, let's not be naive or, you know, innocent here. Influence can be bought, and mm-hmm. for far less than you think. So that caller, he's absolutely right. Doctors, but, you know, it starts very, very early in the process.
Well, let me ask you, Louise, are doctors just, number one, naive? Number two, as Pam keeps saying, too busy to read the research. Number three, are they all corrupt? I mean, surely not.
No. Doctors are not all corrupt, but, you know, if you go back to medical school, doctors, including pediatricians, spend about one day in total learning about vaccines. They learn what they are, how to give them, and how to catch children up. And that's really the extent of their understanding about vaccines.
I am looking...
Then when they become doctors, they are trained by the companies that purvey these vaccines, the drug companies, and that's where they get their training.
And so in North America today, the average set of parents, how many doses and how many vaccines are their children required to get?
Okay, so it varies by state, right? Because states are the ones that mandate vaccines for daycare and school. So the federal government recommends 70 doses of 16 vaccines, right? So there's 16 vaccines and multiple doses of them. When you and I were children, we got maybe 6 or 7, right? We got MMR, measles, mumps, rubella. We got DPT, diphtheria, pertussis, and tetanus, and then polio. So there's 7. And then some of us may have gotten smallpox as well, which is no longer given. And now there's 16, and the numbers of doses have increased. They keep increasing DPT, for example, because pertussis doesn't go away. So what you can see is that this trend, this influence that's happening, it's definitely towards more vaccines.
Now, can you talk about the ingredients in some of these vaccines so that parents actually know what it is that they're injecting into their child?
You know, Pam, this is such an important question because, you know, I'm ashamed to admit that when I allowed my babies to be vaccinated, I had no idea what the diseases were really and what was in them. And I would venture to say most people don't know what's in a vaccine. So I'm going to list some of them, and I'm just going to go very quickly. But there's a lot of things. And you can look it up. You just go to your Google, go to your computer, and type in vaccine excipient, E-X-C-I-P-I-E-N-T, and you can get a list. There's aluminum and mercury, which are neurotoxic, severely neurotoxic. Polysorbate 80, which helps drugs cross the blood-brain barrier. Ammonium sulfate, monosodium glutamate. Monkey kidney tissue, chicken embryo tissue, human DNA, porcine gelatin, which comes from pigs. There's hydrochloric acid. There's lactose, egg, soy, phenols. Are these things sounding familiar? These are things that children are very allergic to.
Mm-hmm.
There's peanut oil. There's streptomycin, which is an antibiotic. There's, you know, there's so many very toxic ingredients. What they argue is that they're in such small doses that the body is able to handle them.
But what happens? What if there's an uncontrolled immune response?
Well, exactly. There's always unintended reactions. But the other thing, Pam, as you know, is they don't study these things cumulatively. So they're not actually looking at, okay, let's see what all of this together, 70 doses of 16 vaccines, let's add it all up and see what's the effect of all that on a little baby.
And now let's talk about the research, because really there isn't really conclusive research to show that vaccines are safe and effective. They haven't done studies with, say, for example, 1,000 children with similar immune status and nutrition status, and monitored them for years to see what the health outcomes are. You know, I know you with some of the YouTube talks that you've given are saying the same thing. Where is this research?
That's right. You know, we started vaccinating, we called it variolation back in the 1700s, right? And it was viewed as this magic bullet, essentially, with smallpox. And we started adding vaccines from there, and this was before the era of modern medicine, before evidence-based science, evidence-based medicine. So there are no randomized clinical controlled studies done to prove safety and prove efficacy, which is the way that we do things in medicine today. And what's happened is that our government says it would be unethical to withhold vaccines from children in any kind of controlled study But I think that you really can turn that on its head, Pam, and say, is it unethical or is it unethical to give vaccines to children without having done the level of science that we've all come to demand?
Louise, let me jump in. What is right now the most controversial vaccine out there? Certainly one that jumps to mind is the human papilloma virus, vaccinating girls in grade 7 and 8. And we've discussed that often on this show to try to prevent cervical cancer. What is the status of that debate across North America right now?
Well, you know, listen, HPV, the Gardasil and Cervarix vaccines are very controversial because teenage girls are getting them, and teenage girls can talk in a way that a newborn and a very young baby cannot. And they can say something very bad has gone wrong after the vaccine. What's happening is that it's entered the political arena, right? Michelle Bachmann called out Rick Perry, basically, and said that he used his influence to and signed an executive order to mandate the HPV vaccine in the state of Texas. And so Michelle Bachmann is saying this is crony capitalism. This is an example of companies using their influence to get legislators to do things that are profitable for them. But what's happening is that many parents are coming forward and saying, listen, something really bad happened after Gardasil with my daughter. There have been over 100 deaths. There's nearly 20,000 adverse events reported. 15% of them are serious, and 15% of them were deaf. So 30% have gone terribly, terribly wrong. And we know that there's underreporting because when bad things have to happen after vaccines, people are told it's a coincidence, not related.
Now, you mentioned the word profit, and maybe you can tell people about one of the biggest advocates out there for vaccines, and his nickname is Paul For Profit Offit.
Yes, Dr. Paul Offit is he's a representative of the pharmaceutical industry, and he is paid to promote vaccines and to tour the country, basically explaining how vaccines are safe and effective and children must receive them. And, you know, I support Paul Offit's, he should be allowed to speak out on the issue, but I think people feel that he's the good doctor, he's independent, and he's saying this as sort of an independent voice. And he's not. He's not unbiased. He's not independent. He doesn't treat children with autism. His primary role is to express an industry viewpoint. He's a vaccine patent holder who has made millions of dollars as a result of the rotavirus vaccine. And if you check his position, it's really 100% aligned with that of the pharmaceutical industry.
If we are underreporting vaccine injuries, as you have suggested, I mean, how many children have to be sacrificed before, number one, we get a true picture of what's happening, and number two, there is action taken to restrict vaccinations and to protect parents from being forced to vaccinate their children?
That is the question, Andy, and I'll tell you, it's going to have to come from the parents. It's going to have to come from parents who come forward and say, listen, I'm not anti-vaccine. Most parents are not. They want to protect their children. They want to be reasonable. But what they're saying is, listen, not all vaccines are the same. Not all diseases are deadly. Do we really need to be having mandates for the flu shot, as we have in the state of New Jersey, where I come from? Should there be mandates for chickenpox, which we know is not deadly if you get it when you're supposed to? And so in my book, I make the case, Mary Holland and I make the case for choice. We say, listen, the book on safety and efficacy is not closed. It's wide open. So you need to give parents choice. This is actually a fundamental human right that you have to have what we call free and informed consent. That's the international human rights standard. Tell people the truth. Give them the facts. Let them decide. Are you more concerned about the disease? Are you more concerned about the vaccine?
Right now, parents don't feel they have choice. I mean, we've just heard stories. Pam had one. I had one just in the last 2 days of parents being beat up by their doctors. Not physically, folks. Pressurized to have this vaccine. Now, you say one option, because in this particular case, a doctor just said, listen, you don't have these vaccines and I'm not your doctor. What's another option, Pam?
Well, there are forms, Louise, and perhaps you can talk about them. Conscientious exemption forms, for example, that parents can sign so that they can send their children to school and not be forced to vaccinate them.
That's right. Let me step back for a second. In Canada, you have universal vaccination choice. So I don't believe in the country of Canada that you mandate vaccines. And I could be wrong, but that's my understanding.
I just hear anecdotal stories about parents who have felt pressured. That's basically what I hear.
Right, mm-hmm. right. And of course, at that level, it's happening. But in America, we mandate. So you can't send your child to daycare or school unless your child has the shots and you don't have a legitimate exemption.
So what's your choice then? Move to another state?
Yes, there are states that are more liberal. So there's 20 states in the country in America that let you opt out for any reason, and that's called the conscientious or philosophical exemption. There are 48 states that let you opt out for religious reasons. And so what we're finding is that this great country, the United States of America, what's happening is parents are, in some cases, feeling compelled to lie about their religious beliefs in order to get out of certain vaccines they don't want and still send their children to school.
Louise, if you would just hold that thought, Thomas wants to jump in. Go ahead, Thomas.
Yeah, this lady speaks the truth, Andy. One thing on the Gardasil, you can go on the CDC site, and it shows all the side effects, including deaths. So that's listed on the government site. Regarding our God-given right to refuse vaccines, we do have that. And for parents, they can go to the Middlesex Health Unit, but a lot of times they don't even know themselves what the procedure is. I would recommend perhaps going to the Lindy's Health Food Store. They have the forms. And I know parents myself that have not had their children vaccinated at any given time, and they make it very clear to the schools that they will not have their children vaccinated at any time, and you have to stand strong.
Mm-hmm. Are they allowed to do that and still send their children to school, Thomas?
Absolutely.
Okay,
it's like she said, it's your right to communicate that. Otherwise, if you don't let them know with this opt-out form, they will vaccinate you, and you can get into trouble.
Okay, thank you for your call, Thomas. Let's go to Lorraine. Lorraine, go ahead.
Oh, hi. Yes, I agree. The school now and the health board has sent home a letter to my daughter, who's in grade 8, and they are telling her that she should get this papillona virus
Gardasil
shot. And she doesn't like shots, first of all. But now everybody in her class is pressuring her and the people that brought her the information, telling her that she should do this or she will get sick.
What are you going to do, Lorraine?
I already signed it, sent it back and said, do not want one, do not give her one.
Good. Yeah, that's a wise choice.
But that takes, Lorraine, that takes courage. It's easy for you as a mom. Well, not easy. It's difficult for you as a mom. But your daughter, to face this pressure, it's extraordinary.
It's not fair to her because, first of all, she doesn't have any information on it because she doesn't know and she's too young. She's only 13. And when she comes to me, I give her information and I tell her I don't think she needs this. And when she comes back again the next day, now she's being told that she really does need it and that I don't know what I'm talking about.
Louise, how many Lorraines are there across North America with this kind of a story?
Oh, my goodness. There's tens of thousands of parents that are talking about a very similar experience. Lorraine, this is not a subject that needs to be a public subject, your daughter's healthcare decisions. These are private, personal decisions. It's inappropriate for anybody to be pressuring her at school or in any kind of public place. So, this is a good example of peer pressure and teaching them that, their body's private. It's their... It's sacred. There's a sanctity of our body and our personal decisions.
Obviously, so, in California, they don't feel that way. They feel that the state knows better than mom and dad.
Well, I agree. They shouldn't be doing that at all. The parents have the right to choose what they want to give to their children, and they're sneaking it under and not even telling us, I will go ballistic.
Mm-hmm.
Lorraine, how would you feel if the state of Ontario, the province, had secretly vaccinated your daughter?
I would be so angry. I would write to everybody and anybody because I don't think it's right that they come in. That takes away our choice. that just makes out, why don't they just do everything they want behind our backs? And I think most of the time they are.
Okay, Lorraine, I appreciate that so much. We have to take one more break and then some concluding thoughts from Lorraine Quo-Habakas, author of Vaccine Epidemic. When we come back in just a moment here on London Today on News Talk 1290 CJBK.
They don't cure nothing. Same disease has been hanging out since I was a kid, man. What's the last shit a doctor cured? Polio. You know how long ago polio was? That's like the first season of Lucy.
We always say, don't take it from us. Don't take it from Chris Rock. Don't take it from Andy Udman. Don't take it from Pam Colleen. And don't even take it from Louise Quo-Habakas. Go and do the research. Louise, we have just a couple of minutes left. There are some listeners who have just joined us. Can you please, in the next 1 minute, explain to them what you've said in your book, Vaccine Epidemic, How Corporate Greed, Bias Science, and Coercive Government Threaten Our Human Rights, Our Health, and Our Children, specifically about vaccines, and then we'll ask you about websites in your book.
Absolutely. There's a crisis happening in the world, in our country, in North America, and that is children are very sick. And the cure, the vaccine, is there's great concern about whether it's contributing to the epidemic of disease that we're seeing. So what we want to say is, listen, it's your choice. We must support vaccination choice. We must support the fact that parents need to be involved in these decisions and get the facts straight and then be able to make decisions for their own families. Vaccines are different. They can harm and kill you. So they're not like seatbelts and bike helmets. And I think people need to understand that you can choose to just listen to your doctor or you can do your own research and actually start to understand that there's more to this than meets the eye.
Well, now, Louise, I want to go back in history because this is something that's very compelling that really caught my attention when I was studying vaccines. And that is that most infectious diseases that we vaccinate for today were almost all eradicated before the introduction of vaccines. And this was due to improved sanitation and hygiene.
That's right. In fact, what we saw was that as we cleaned up the covered cesspools, running water, flush toilets, as we built roads so that we could get better food, the produce from the farms to the cities, we shut down the tenements and cleaned things up, people started dying less of these diseases. And what we found was vaccines weren't even introduced for widespread use until afterwards. And so as disease deaths were coming down, vaccines were introduced. And there's been this conflating of, oh, it was the vaccines that actually eradicated.
In other words, vaccines are getting a lot of credit that they don't deserve. Let me ask you this quick reference to your websites and where people can go to get more information, which we always encourage.
Okay, so vaccineepidemic.com and centerforpersonalrights.org, a nonprofit that supports vaccination choice. And the book is also available on Amazon and in bookstores.
Beautiful.
And 10 seconds, advice to parents on whether they should get their children vaccinated.
Do your research. All diseases aren't the same. All vaccines are not the same. You know, don't just listen to what you're told. As you know, there's more to this than meets the eye.
Louise, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Louise.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Any concluding thoughts there, Pam?
No, I think she's absolutely right. You must educate before vaccinating, and the information is widely available. There's lots and lots of resources on her website.
After all the nasty things you've said about Big Pharma, it didn't even come close to what we heard now about this bill in California that they're going to sneak it through now to secretly vaccinate your children. If that doesn't convince you that Big Pharma has a very sinister agenda, I don't know what will. Thank you, Pam.
Thanks, Andy.
Wow. And, of course, they can always go to your website because I get email and phone calls for 2 hours after every show we do with you. Where can they find it more?
www.pamcolleen.com. And I'm doing my nutrition boot camp all of the month of October where I talk about the foods that best support your immune system.
And it's all on Pam's website. 11 o'clock news just around the corner. When we come back.